Kev, a warm welcome. We love you, Kevin.
Yeah, love you guys. Love you guys. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive our sins as we've forgiven those who sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. I want to show a couple of things to you before we get started. First of all, on the side stages and in the center of the stage are two handouts. Let me explain these very quickly, and then we will move on. The first handout is a lot of words. The secretaries were teasing me because there's a lot of words in there that are hard to understand. Just skip over theirs. It's titled The Kingdom of God. It was written in 1996 by Robert H. Stein from the Baker's Evangelical Dictionary. It is simply titled Kingdom of God. It talks about the political kingdom, the liberal or spiritual kingdom, the consistent or future kingdom, the realized or present kingdom. Then it talks about biblical evidence. Then it talks about implications. It is one article of literally thousands you can find on the good interweb. Okay? Also, if you have a Baker's Dictionary, you can find it in there. For those of you that don't like the computer, think it's of the devil, you can actually go get books and look these things up and cross-reference. I put this on there because if you would like to study more about the kingdom of God, this is a very simple article. I know it won't. When you get in there, you'll go, simple? Trust me, this was the simplest article I could find on the kingdom of God. There are thousands and thousands of resources from the most what we would call labels liberal to the most what we call labels fundamentalist. People who write about these things spend years studying kingdom of God. So that's here. On the back, there are simply a handful of verses out of God's Word about God's will. Now, if you don't want to read the article, which if you're not a nerd or a brainiac, you won't want to read the article. Sean, you'll want to read the article. So, if you don't want to read the article, the second paper is just the verses. So again, side stage, middle stage. Side stage, middle stage. Let me explain the verses. When you read verses, sometimes you can take those things out of context. So I wrote just a couple of things that when I went to school at OBU, when I went to classes, my professor taught me how to study the Bible very shortly. He says this, when we read verses, we need to read the context. Several verses before, several verses after. It's called the passage, the totality, the wholeness of Scripture. Rev Kev said a big word. All right, first of all, when you read it, you investigate the passage. You ask yourself a couple of things. Number one, who was the intended audience? Culture. What genre is this passage, such as poetry, wise sayings, it'd be Proverbs, history, promised directly from a holy God? You need to look at these things. Again, there are books out there, even the worldwide interweb, Al Gore invented it. You can look up these things to find out what genre the scripture comes out of. Now, is this passage literal, figurative? Remember, Jesus used parables. For ADD people like me, that's word pictures. Okay? So you want to look at that when you're looking at a verse or a passage of Scripture so you get a handle on what's being taught in that passage. Now, there are many, many verses of Scripture that deal with will of God. This is like the tip of the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg on will of God. Thousands of verses, passages, hundreds of passages that talks about the will of God. Acts 17:11 says this, the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were telling the truth. So why did I do this? Two things. Number one, there is no way in our time today that I could even begin to cover thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No way in this time frame can we even begin to unlatch the lock to unpack what this means. Also, second reason, you need to study for yourself. You need to look at the Word of God. I'm so proud of Jeremy and the youth because on Sunday afternoons, they are actually, ready? Hang on. Studying the Bible. Jeremy, I never did that. Half of them didn't know where their Bibles were. So, they're studying the Bible. They're taking passages of Scripture and looking at it and reading it. They're studying the Bible. I'm proud of them. They're looking up things. Sometimes you look at us as professional ministers. By the way, that was Pharisees. Jesus didn't like them. So we as professional ministers, you expect us to spoon feed you everything. And you wonder why you're not getting anywhere in your walk. Oh, I was really mean, wasn't I? Good. Get over it, buttercup. Suck it up, buttercup. Study God's word. These are just the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of tools on thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There they are. Don't come up and get them now. That's going to be at the end. You'll see what's going to be happening. So today, what I want to do is just simply share with you a couple of thoughts about where I am in my journey. Really specifically, about 3 weeks of a journey on my part of this series, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done on heaven, or on earth as it is in heaven. So, saying all of that, Jesus, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. A few verses before, he said this, and when you pray, then he just totally jammed the Pharisees, when you pray, don't be like these guys. Jesus was cool like that, right? Okay, let me stop. Right now, y'all are doing this. It's like when Pastor Scott talks to me, you're doing this. It's like when Matt talks to me about budgets. So Jesus said, when you pray, and then he got down to this, and he said, pray like this. So 3 weeks ago, I'm doing my devotions, and I randomly pick and choose because I am so ADD, I get bored. So I'll just say, let me look at this. Isn't it funny how God works? One of my devotions was the Lord's Prayer, and I went, oh, what a coincidence. No, I went, this is strange because God asked me a month ago to do this. As I read it, I agreed with the writer because he said this. Jesus never intended for the Lord's Prayer to be some kind of pharmaceutical prayer of rote. It was never meant to be some kind of laminated card that we wore around our necks and hold it up and go, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was never meant to be some kind of impersonable list of rules or some kind of creed that we read thinking that these words had some kind of magical power, like some incantation. I agreed. Nor was it to be some kind of template to make sure we check off our list that we got all these parts read. The whole was to be a life-changing transformation communicated between us and the Father. Jesus said way back in verse 5, when you pray. Oh, okay. Well, what? When. Pray like this. Because when we go back to this, even the Pharisees, they would take Scripture and they'd put it in a little tiny box and put it on your head like osmosis was somehow going to make us Christ-like. Actually, they weren't even thinking about Christ, were they? Would somehow make us spiritual and holy. Blessed thou art thee, thou hast thou thee. It was the heart of the matter. It was that personal relationship. It was a transformation. So let's just jump into this. May your kingdom come soon. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I want to get to the heart of the matter. May your kingdom come soon. The handout's here if you want to begin a lifetime journey. For some of us, that's shorter than others. Amen. A lifetime journey. What is the kingdom of God? May your kingdom come soon. How many of you remember, this will be the old timers, how many of you remember 88 reasons why Christ will return in 88? Raise your hand if you remember that. Wow. There was a book written, this is amazing, there was a book written, Why Jesus Christ Will Come Back in 1988. And I remember we were on church staff, Kendra and I, somewhere, and this book came out, and it was the latest rage. Everybody was buying this book up, but the crazy thing was, well-meaning followers of Jesus Christ were doing such things as buying new vehicles, buying nice loaded pickup trucks. In 87, boy, I'm really good at math, right, Matt? That's why Matt doesn't talk to me about finances. Buying all these payment-heavy vehicles, thinking what? Jesus is coming back in 88, so I'm going to buy these in 87 and not pay them off because I won't be here. Buying mortgages of houses they couldn't afford, thinking what?
Well, I'm going to buy this really nice house and live in it, and then I won't make any payments.
Well, guess what happened the stroke of midnight in 89?
Well, maybe this is Hebrew time.
Thank you, Rylan. You got that. Did Mindy have to tell you? This is what he meant. And then the banks called a few months later. You owe us all. And they went bankrupt. The saddest story that I heard was a little 8-9-year-old girl got her Easter dress on, got looking all pretty. She was in a second-story room, sat in her chair, waited till the stroke of midnight, 1989, for Christ. Does that not kind of get you a little bit? Well, the good thing was the guy that wrote the book said, oh, wait a minute, hey, I made a mistake. 89 reasons why Christ will come back in 1989. Let me make this point, and I want to get on to what I really want to talk about. We don't need to be like that. We need to eagerly await our Savior's return. We need to have an eye to the sky. We need to just, Lord Jesus, may your kingdom come soon. But we're here. So let me just throw this idea out, and you'll see where I'm going. Lord Jesus, come soon. But until you do, may your kingdom come in me right now. Can we not live kingdomly here? Can we not live in a way? I mean, the Bible says we're to be a peculiar people. I mean, I know some of y'all. I know I'm peculiar, and I'm totally fine with it. It took me years to get there, but I have a blast living in this mind because I'm like, wow, I really think that? I mean, I laugh at my own jokes. Come on. Can we not say, Lord, come soon, but your kingdom now in me here? It's called living for eternity now. Let's don't be that little girl sitting in her room in the rocker going, any moment. Any moment, any moment, any moment, and then the world's dying, going to hell. I mean, it's just a thought. You can do whatever you want. Oh, Lord, yes, come quickly. I mean, don't you feel the aches and the pains of wanting to go home? People have been teasing me in first service because I said the book of faces makes me want to go home, amen. Everybody jokes about all I ever do is quizzes. Have you wondered why? I mean, every time I do the Marvel superhero quiz, I'm somebody different. I keep trying to be Wolverine, but it keeps saying like I'm like Marvel girl or something. Does it not ache? Do you not ache for the Savior to come back? Come on, seriously. Does this world not make you ache? Have you ever stopped to think? And Rylan kind of touched on it. I mean, the world cries out. There is a God. Have you stopped to think that the world, that earth that God created is aching? The creation is aching. The volcanoes, the earthquakes, the very world's crying out, thy kingdom come soon. Lord, may your kingdom come soon, but let it come in me until you say enough's enough. Which leads us to the second thing. The second point. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done. Let me just throw it out there. Personal holiness. if I went around here and asked, what is God's will? I'd get a plethora of answers. Because we base it on our life circumstances. I was talking to a brother Friday about his ministry. We're talking about philosophy of ministry. And we were 180. And then we began to talk about family background. And man, this brother was jacked up, messed up, screwed up. He had so many painful things that happened. And it did. And I'm not saying warped. Listen to me. It's just that his idea of God's will was so different than my idea. Were they both right? Yeah. I mean, the verses that are right here, the verses that are over there, and verses over there, give a whole myriad of God's will. And guess what? They're right. So let me say this. Let's start here. We're talking about prayer. Are you willing to pray your will be done? But don't use that as a cop-out.
Oh, God, your will be done. I'm going to go live like the devil. Woo! But Kevin, I prayed your will be done. Rev Kev, I prayed his will be done. Now I'm going to go do what I want. Cop-out.
Oh, sorry, Mark's over here.
Cop-out.
Right? Can we just talk real? No more preacher games. Can we just be real? We use it as a cop-out. Was there not a little bit of you that went, hey, glad pastor's talking about prayer, because I can just go, God, do whatever you want. I'm going to go over here and do what I want. Woo! Wait till the last point. You're going to love me on that one. So let's break it down here. Your will be done in me. I've been there 3 weeks. Your will be done in me. Personal holiness. Now, let me say this. 1 Peter 1:16, the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. But where does that go back to? Leviticus, our favorite Bible, amen. Woo! Let's do that chapter, Leviticus. Let's do the whole book of Leviticus. You know what I'm thinking? Leviticus. We joke about it. Where's Jeremy? Yeah, Jeremy's going, don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, I'll move on. Leviticus 20:26. You must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. Ready? Here it is. I learned this at OBU. Again, when I went to class, Dr. Tom Wilkes. I have set you apart from all other people to be my very own. Here's what I learned. Holiness is set apart. Now, think about it. When I first said holiness, what did you think of? Right?
No R-rated movies. No swearing.
Oops, I'm out. No, I'm sorry. Just being honest.
Holiness means you walk like this.
We do have those choir robes, right? We can pass those out afterward. Okay, so we're going to get everybody a choir robe. And you walk like, I'm so holy. Right? Gregorian chant. Ian, when I think of holiness, Ian, I think of you. Roll my eyes. Okay, holiness, right? That's not what it means. Who were thought they were the holy people in the Bible? The Pharisees. What did Jesus say? You brood of vipers. Well, if Jesus calls somebody a brood of vipers, I'm not thinking they're real holy. Now, let's break it down. I did this the first service, and some of them were laughing at me because they knew where I was going. The Pharisees were what? Religious leaders. I've said this to you 100 times. People like me. Professional ministers. Ouch. Ouch. Holiness is to be set apart. Set apart. Listen to this. God made us to be set apart, which is not, listen to me, don't misunderstand me, which is not legalistic behavior modification. That's rules. That's works unto salvation. Works is saying, thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. I mean, Jesus was so upset and so angry at the legalistic behavior modification, that's the people that sent him to the cross. Now, they didn't get that that's what he wanted. Amen. It's not about the rules. Personal holiness is being set apart. I can't really explain it as well as this video can. Watch this.
Question. What are you called to do? I ask that question because we won't be judged according to what we did in life, but rather what we were called to do in life. Imagine with me standing before the throne of God and a scenario like this occurred. Evangelist Anderson, come forth and give an account of your stewardship on earth. Evangelist Anderson, I'm not an evangelist. I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. Evangelist Anderson, where are the 347,566 souls I called you to impact in Asia, son? Where are they? I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. I help churches. I help ministries with their finances. Son, where are the 347,566 souls in Asia I called you to impact? Son, where are they? Had you sought me, had you sought my face, I would have revealed this to you. And everything in regards to that man's calling was burnt up before the judgment seat of Christ. Accountant Jones, step forward and give an account of your stewardship. Accountant Jones?
No, I
pastored for 35 years. I had a membership of 750 people. Accountant Jones, I called you to the marketplace. Had you done this, you would have significantly impacted two people. You and those two men would have helped churches with their finances, and those churches would have impacted 751,321 souls. If you would have sought me, I would have revealed this to you. And again, in regards to this man's calling, everything he's done in life would be burnt up before the judgment seat of Christ. Sister Smith, come forth and give an account of your stewardship. I only raised three children. I never preached to nations. I never even been on a missionary trip. I only tried my hardest to raise my children in your way. Sister Smith, I never called you to preach to nations. I never called you to go to other countries on missionary trips. I called you to raise three children. And let me show you the 1,579,541 souls those three children impacted. You sought me and you heard my voice. You were obedient to my call. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So remember, in regards to the calling that's on your life, you won't be judged according to what you did. You will be judged according to what you were called to do.
The part that gets me the most of that video is the woman who may have gone her whole life thinking she was a failure. And you want to know why? People like me. people like me, religious Pharisee, that says, you want to matter in the kingdom of God, you got to do this. You got to be this. I am not your path picker. I have no right to tell you how you're to be set apart. I am your cheerleader. My job is to come alongside you as you seek the Father and put my arm around you and say, go for it. That is my job. And I don't know where we got off as ministers thinking we hold the keys to anything. Are there times I feel God impresses me to say something to people? Yeah. You know what that saying is? Seek the Father. Are there times that there may be an agreement where someone seeks and they come to me and say, what do you think about this? And I go, well, I could see that. First service, I told them a few months before I switched roles, I apologized to our youth and to our youth workers for being a hypocrite and a Pharisee. I had a lady come up to me whose husband was in the ministry for years and then got out. And she came up with tears and she said, our whole entire life, 20-something years of ministry, no staff person or member has, or staff member or pastor has ever apologized. And tears in her eyes, she hugged me. I just thought that was commonplace that you apologize if you're wrong. Second Corinthians 5:17 says this. If any man is in Christ, or any woman is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all become brand new. Ian's here, and Ian has taught me this word, plurality. What that means is, here's Rev Kev, here's Christ. In Christ, I am brand new. The Word of God also says in Philippians, I can do all things, what? There it is, through Christ who gives me strength. How many things can I do through Christ? Say it. So last Wednesday, everybody remember Wednesday, say Wednesday. Last Wednesday was one of the lowest days I've had personally. It seems I couldn't do anything right. Everything I touched just turned to poo-poo. It was horrible. I went into our final group meeting of learning to tell yourself the truth. Just wasn't in it. It was horrible, terrible. Went home that night, horrible and terrible. My wife went to bed. I sat in my recliner, horrible and terrible, about the lowest I've ever been. Totally felt defeated, totally felt beaten up. Totally felt like I can't do this. And Leon was in first service sitting right behind Kathy. I said, Leon, you didn't know this, but I was fixing to call you, tell you I don't want to preach this. You're going to preach it. I had an appointment, a very serious appointment Friday. I was going to call that person and say, I can't meet with you. I'm in no place. I am not worthy of the calling. Sat in my recliner an hour and a half looking at my life, facing my life, going, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want any part of this. I can't do this thing called Christianity. Let me explain. Before Wednesday, I was feeling pretty good about myself, feeling like I got this thing called life, got it handled, doing some groups, some things have been happening, man, living large, doing great. Woke up that morning feeling worse. Don't want to come into work, don't want to do anything. Lord started speaking to me. Let me give you a freebie. We're going to be wrapping up really quick, so hang on. Let me say this. I said the first service, I'm going to say it to you. The Lord does not speak as we speak to ourselves. I've said this, I've heard people say this, I've heard ministers say this. They'll say it like this. You know, I was speaking to the Lord and he said to me, hey, dummy. I was speaking to the Lord and he said, hey, stupid, do this. God does not speak to his kids that way. I challenge you to find it in the Bible. Challenge, go do it. Bring it to me. Now, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in those terms. You brood of vipers. But to his children, God speaks this way. This is what he said to me Thursday morning. Son, let me show you a better way. Son, listen to your father's heart. I felt this in my spirit. Anybody say audible voice? Wasn't audible, but let me tell you, it resonated my rib cage to shake. This is what I felt him say. Kevin, here's you. Here's Jesus. You can live this way, and this is what came up. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Kevin, this can be you. You and my son. If you do this, if you are in Christ, you will be brand new. Brand new the rest of your life. And now listen, I want you to listen because I'm going to tell you the same exact thing. Everybody looking? I will tell you this. I'm talking about youth, kids in here, to the oldest senior adult. Don't point at that person, okay, because they'll beat you up later. If you abide in me, if you abide in my son, if you're together, you are a new creation. Old things have died. You'll be brand new. And if you do this, I will show you things and do things through you you have never dreamed of and you have never seen. Everybody got that? Got that? Then he said this, but if you do this, welcome to the rest of your life being Wednesdays. Y'all get me? Welcome to the rest of your lives being Wednesdays. And then, same thing. Now, son, look, let me show you an excellent way. Let me show you an excellent way. If you do this, then he brought Philippians. You can do everything. Everything when you're together with Christ. Everything. Everything. Ready? Are you ready? I've ever dreamed of for you. Everything. But then he did this again. But if you pull away from me and you pull away from my son, welcome to a world full of Wednesdays. And I went, I don't want a world full of Wednesdays ever again. Now, has it been all sunshine, lollipops, and puppies and kitties? No, it's been horrible. It's been painful. But I have faith. That's all I got. Your will be done in me. Last one, on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to close out real quick with this. When God goes to the angels, you ready? And says, I need to build some mansions today, guys, gals, because we got some people coming home and they need their mansions done. Do the angels say, you know, God, I'd do that, but got some softball games my kids are in. Can't get to that today. Lord, you know I'd do that, God, but I ate at that Taco Bell on Hallelujah Boulevard, got a little upset tum-tum, so I can't really get to that today. You know what, Lord, I would do that, but I just don't want to. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what do you think happens when God says, we got to get some mansions done, our kids are coming home? What do you think the angels do? It's already done. This is where I'm at. Done. Now, that's easy for me to stand here and say it. And you can probably sit there and go, yeah, well, Kevin, that's you. You ain't walking my shoes, and you don't know what's going on. And maybe someday I'll be able to share some of that. So let me lay it out here. What are you supposed to be doing? What is your path? Okay. Sorry, Facebook Live. You hate me, don't you? Yeah, he goes, I don't know. Sometimes I do hate you. What's your path? Chief, what's your path?
Follow Jesus.
Don't take that Sunday school answer with me, boy.
That's true. Follow Jesus.
No, it's not. It is to follow Jesus. But what is Chief supposed to be doing in that house down there in Collinsville? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. Because if I do answer it for you, then everything I said is a lie, because I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to be a Pharisee, and I'm a brood of vipers. Kathy, what's your path? Don't answer, because you're going to be wrong when you answer it anyway. Frederick, what's your path, man? I don't know. And maybe you don't know. What's your path? I can go back all the way through here. And then I just walk around. What's your path? It's the question we got to start asking, because maybe we're not asking. Some of you may know. You may know what your path is. But are you living your path? Don, what's your path? You may know, but are you living it? Are you going, well, I'll wait till I get to heaven? Well, then you may have a long talk with the Lord you don't want to have, because guess what? He does give rewards. Have you read the scripture? He gives rewards. Now, do you want to be on the sidelines cheering the soldiers to get their rewards, or you want to be the soldier getting your reward?
Well, I just want to get in. Just want to get in.
Some of us may just barely get in. Or do you want to have that crown rich with rewards that you can lay at the Savior's feet? What's your path? And don't come to any of us trying to find out. Because hopefully now we'll go, you know, Matt, when we do this. Yes, right. If any of the staff do this to you, we're not listening to one thing you say. What's your path? But warning, when the Father says, okay, you serious, Mindy? I'm going to tell you. Then do it. I hate hypotheticals. Somebody asked me a hypothetical Friday, and I went, oh, well, I'm not going to tell you. I don't do hypotheticals. So let me give you some hypotheticals. What if your path's not here? At Central. What if the path is not the small group you've been going to for 4 years, but it's to be at Central, but start a new small group?
But I love my small group.
Well, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the Father, because he's the one that said,
oh, man, I'm not trying to start anything. Okay, I am. I'm trying to start a lot.
But why don't you get up with me at 3 o'clock in the morning and wrestle with them? You're going to lose.
But it's your path he has for you.
What did I say?
To show you things and do things in your life that you never dreamed of.
Victories you don't even know about, that you've had failure in for so long that you're so used to it, that you're wearing it as a badge of honor, but it's not. It's crippling you. It's killing you spiritually. Because you're doing this. What's your path?
I don't know.
I'm throwing out hypotheticals. Remember, I hate hypotheticals. This whole thing is on prayer. So here's the kicker. Pray. Pray. Three questions. Number one, and when you pray, what will God do in your life personally when you pray? Your kingdom come, but until then, be the kingdom in me. When you pray, second thing, oh God, your will be done in me. What's my path? How are you setting me apart? And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in me now. Now, saying that, okay, let me put a disclaimer in there because Scott's going to listen later. For you staying at Central, we're many parts, one body. Let's stop fighting each other and stop, you know, just, I don't know him, I don't know him. As a body, instead of kids down there and senior, wherever we're going to be, we don't even know where we're going to be, wherever we are, let's start working as one body to accomplish the kingdom. Not even Central. How about just the kingdom? Seeing people come to Christ and using all of our gifts for one purpose, the kingdom here. Amen? How will that change Central when we start praying these things? Last question. The one that wakes me up at 3. Ready? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Comfort? Then you're here. What are you afraid of? Change? Then you're here. What are you afraid of? Being misunderstood? Then you're here. I will do things you've never dreamed of in Christ. The opposite is out of Christ. Together, everything God has for you. Okay, here's the deal. Deeper study, kingdom of God, verses. If you don't want the kingdom of God study, I've got just the verses. Are you willing to say, okay, Lord, you did not give us a spirit of fear. You are filled. Okay, first of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, none of this matters. In a minute, you'll have a chance to go over that room over there. It says Connections Room. And we got people over there that would love to introduce you to this insane, crazy ride that will change your life forever. Forever. For those of you who know Jesus, right here, verses on the will of God, a study on the kingdom of God. Seek for yourself. You bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. We got some of the staff heading to the connections room. I'm going to ask you this. If you're ready to start this strange, weird trip that could possibly, if you're serious, change your life forever, come up and grab this paper. It's just simply a sign that you're serious. Coming up now. We're not even waiting. We're not going to have music for this part. Come up now. Grab the paper. If you want to stay at the steps and pray, pray. If you want to take them back to your seats, pray. We only got a few minutes. Just do it. Begin the journey of submission. My part is done, and I'm going to turn it over to Rylan. You come get these papers. If you don't want the article, the verses are right there. If you want the article, the verses are on the back of the article. Now I'm going to turn it over to Rylan.